Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The Fourth Industrial Revolution.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Tonight is Monday, December 6th, and the world is still being run by a freak show, with senior positions now being occupied by increased numbers of pedo and trans freaks. The world has turned upside down and we've gone crazy. And when it comes to Canada, they have literally a humanity child killer in their prime minister office with Trudeau, who's now trying to convince kids like a good... Oh, it's just disgusting. It's like any sort of pedo would do, trying to tell kids it's good to get a shot. It's horrible. So these are tyrants, and we know it. But tonight we're going to focus on kind of the bigger picture of what these tyrants are actually driving. And it's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and it's also tied directly to their bigger agenda, which is transhumanism. So before we begin tonight, Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com is your place for the branded coffee of Bards FM, the great coffee, Expedition Coffee, designed for the warriors of this time to elevate you, give you that boost you need all day long, not dry you out with the caffeine depletion, give you those other things that help boost your immune system. And then when you're there on that site, you can check out the other great health products as a whole health ecosystem. The Gut Health Triad, fantastic product, helps heal and seal your gut. Nothing like it. Then you have the Earth product, which is a full body supplement you mix with like a shake. It's fantastic. Full body supplement, everything you need in one drink. And then Immune XP. Few drops in your water and you get the boost of your immune system you need each day, which is built on pine cone extract. And of course, Pure 47, which is the most refined nano silver extract currently on the market that can isolate the pathogens that enter your body. That full ecosystem, when you get through taking all that together, about all you're left needing is maybe, depending on your diet, is a little bit of vitamin D and zinc. Otherwise, everything is right there. So check that out at Expedition, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. Also, mypillow.com/bards. That's our landing page. Fantastic page. Thanks to all you great patriots that support MyPillow. And what a great company with what a super CEO that continues to fight for this nation and spend literally millions of dollars out of his own pocket to help secure election integrity. That's Mike Lindell. And he has created one heck of a company. Who would have ever thought that a pillow salesman would be considered a threat to national security by the deep state? But that's the world we live in, and what a great guy he is. So we're going to always support MyPillow. MyPillow.com/Bards is your landing page of featured specials. Use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. You can use that promo code anywhere on the MyPillow site, anywhere on the Frank Speech site, anywhere on the My Store site. It's fantastic. So again, mypillow.com/bards. That's your entry into the MyPillow experience. And then you use your promo code Bards anywhere you want. And if you really feel so compelled and you're saying to yourself, you know what, Bards, you know, I really need to speak to a person. You say, okay, no problem. How about if you call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and you can speak to a specialist in pillows, a pillow patriot counselor. And if you do that, I promise you, you will never need to go to a counselor, a regular counselor's office. They'll take care of you right there. So again, use your promo code BARTS. Finally, the Founders Bible, thefoundersbible.com. You can use your promo code BARDS there as well to get 20% off on what I consider to be the best Bible of our time. That's was built and or edited by, built. It was edited by Brad Cummings, who was on the show about 2 weeks ago. He was on the Resistance Chicks show tonight, actually. Awesome guy. And use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, get 20% off on those Bibles. They're incredible. They're the NASB 1995. I just bought another case today to give out for more Christmas presents. And it's got the founder's documents integrated in with scriptures of the chapters. It's really wonderful to see how deeply our founding fathers believed in Christ and God. Unlike what the left will try to tell you. They'll always try to tell you a lie. We know that. We live in this inverted world. So check that out. Foundersbible.com, thefoundersbible.com. Use your promo code BARTS. And I hope you saw last night's special or listened to it. It's hard to see a podcast. Hope you listened to last night's special. What an amazing night we had last night on the Expedition Bards FM special with Jill and Brian Kahanek as they featured their new album that came out. Really good. I hope you check it out. It's a great story, great. And there's such many great things coming this year with all of that, which we're calling the 432 Collective. And I'll be doing a whole feature on that very soon. Probably next week we'll do that. But tonight is launching a full week of kind of understanding the fight. So this is what we're doing tonight and the rest of the week. Tonight, we're digging into the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I really want to get the big picture painted for everybody to understand what it is that these masters of deceit and treason are trying to do to the world. And then the rest of the week, we're going to be kind of going the totally opposite end of the spectrum. We're going to get down on the ground level. And we're going to be focusing on the state of Missouri. And if you don't know, the state of Missouri is like one of the leading states right now in defeating this COVID crazy. And that's thanks to great people that we have on the show this week. We're going to have tomorrow night, we're going to have Kel Brazel, which you probably don't know. She's got a morning show in St. Louis, a morning radio show. Her husband, Joe Brazel, if you were at Bard's Fest, you might have seen him talk. He's one of the best county commissioners in the entire nation. What a fighter for God and liberty. We're going to have Joe Hoff on Thursday, and he's the brother of Jim Hoff, Gateway Pundit. And Friday, we're having, you got it, Dr. E, the power energy, Dr. E, Mr. Save the World. So it's going to be a great week. I think you'll enjoy this because it really gives us, and this is why tonight's important, because tonight is a story I'm laying out for you to kind of understand. It's laying out the framework, and I'm going to let some things speak for themselves. I'm not going to get away tonight without making an opinion. Not that I ever give opinions, but I'll probably slip one in. But it's going to be a really interesting. I'm trying to paint the picture to let you kind of see that when we're talking about all these people, like, oh, we love this person, love that person, there's some really sleight of hand garbage that's been going on here for some time, including everybody, and it doesn't make me very happy. So let me start by just kind of laying out a couple of things. Oh, by the way, I can't start the show without mentioning the 5/11 CIA, FBI, whatever the heck they are, masked bandits that arrived on the Capitol Mall with their shields. Did everybody see that? These retards came marching up there in their little 5/11 gear with their FBI haircuts, which might be the new IRS agents that Joe Biden is hiring. But here is, oh, wait, here it comes. I'm going to give you an opinion. I do want you to think about this, so very seriously, on what you're looking at. So you notice the media was mum on this, didn't say a word, and have all these guys walking up with shields. Now, if they were truly, as they said, white supremacists, we know that our media would lose their mind, but they didn't. Plus, tell me one person that fights for liberty that hides their face. The answer is none. So they walk up there with scarves on their face. And here is just a couple of things. And oh, by the way, the khakis that they were wearing, if you check out 5/11 combat wear, that's the number one contractor deployment source. It's always cracks me up. I always give them a hard time too. You'll be like, oh, you're a covert operator. Let me guess, special forces. You're from Ground Branch. And they'll be like, what? How did you know this? I'm like, well, maybe it's because you spent all your money that they gave you for clothes on the same place everybody else did, which was called 5/11 wear. Not that you give it away. That's the fashion statement for guys that want to be cool guys, by the way. So anyway, the other thing I want to throw out something for you to think about. Two other things when you see stuff like this, and it's interesting. One is that is the perfect way to walk in foreign troops on our soil, by the way. Nobody said a word, and they're in D.C., and that's not even possible. So they're either connected to an agency or they're foreign troops coming in. But here's yet another. Ready for this one? Because I watch these guys, and this is the part that I keep asking myself. And this ties right into our transhuman agenda, which we'll come back to this, but I want you to think about what I'm going to tell you. I watched those guys march, and they're all, I mean, it's sloppy marching, but they did march anyway. And they're all kind of like drones. Very obedient. Now, I've been hearing rumors. I really do like 5'11 pants on some things, but I don't want to totally diss everybody. I just laugh because all the same guys buy them, and they all think they're undercover, and they're not. But anyway, the thing that's interesting is I'm asking myself, who buys into this garbage? Who are they recruiting that would be so obedient? And this is why I bring this up, because there has been rumor floating around, and this is completely on the fringe of everything, and I have no proof of this, okay? I just want to be clear. And this gets into almost, this is where you kind of get into that fringe conspiracy, but we know about conspiracies. Conspiracy is only conspiracies until they come true, and lately they've been coming true at about a rate of about every 24 hours. But that said, remember, chemtrails were a conspiracy until Congress revealed them last year and said, oh yeah, we were doing it. But here's the thing I want you to think about. I've been hearing this rumor about human 2.0, that they've literally been growing these people in the labs. I'm not kidding. This has been a rumor. This is not like sketch stuff. This is kind of on this in between underground media to kind of strange edge media. But I've been hearing this concept all the time. And you look at these guys and ask yourself, is it possible that you're seeing they're test running what a new super soldier would look like? Remember, I've talked to you about the Super Soldier Project. It's for real. And you might be witnessing the first test drive of a super soldier, like Elon Musk's version of super soldier. Just saying. Wait till you hear more about the Fourth Industrial Revolution and transhumanism tonight. You won't think I'm crazy. All right, let's start with this here. The deal we have here with the Fourth Industrial Revolution is to understand its premise, okay? The Fourth Industrial Revolution ties in with transhumanism, and it's supposed to be this great leap for humanity. Well, let's be clear. Anytime the elites talk about a great leap for humanity, it's a great regression for humanity, and it's a great leap for them. So I'm going to just read some WikiLeaks right off the top here, or WikiLeaks, Wikipedia, WikiLies. But this is actually solid enough from what they wrote that I'm willing to read it. Okay, so here it goes. The Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is conveniently called 4IR, just remember that, or Industrial 4.0, you'll see that, conceptualizes rapid change in technology, industries, and societal patterns, very important to remember that, and processes in the 21st century due to increasing interconnectivity and smart automation. Coined popularly by the World Economic Forum founder and executive chairman, yours truly, Klaus Schwab, the fascist, it asserts that the changes seen are more than just improvements to efficiency, but express and significant shifts in industrial capitalism. Now, this is critical. A part of this phase of industrial change is the joining of technologies like artificial intelligence, gene editing, to advanced robotics that blur the lines between the physical, the digital, and the biological worlds. That's very, very critical. That's a fundamental aspect of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, that you blur the lines between the physical, the digital, and the biological worlds. And that means you as well. So now listen to this clip. This clip comes from the annual meeting at the 2020 World Economic Forum. Listen carefully to what he says and listen carefully to who's in attendance.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Adrian Monk from the World Economic Forum. Welcome to this press conference on the reskilling revolution, better skills for a billion people by 2030. So almost as twice as many jobs can be created than lost by the Fourth Industrial Revolution. You'll have heard in the press conference just preceded us about the climate change challenge we face here We also face a jobs challenge if we're to meet that other part of the theme of this annual meeting, which is about cohesion, social cohesion, giving people opportunities. So this press conference is going to explore that and really lay out some quite exciting ways in which we can tackle that issue. I'm delighted to be joined by Sadia Zahidi, who leads the forum's work on this panel, by Ivanka Trump, who's here as co-chair of the American Policy Advisory Workforce Advisory Board, by Mark Benioff, the chairman and co-chief executive of Salesforce, by Peter Hummelgaard, the Minister of Employment from Denmark, and by His Excellency Dr. Hamad Belhoul, Minister of Education from the United Arab Emirates.
All right, so this is where I get this clip irritates me to no end. All right, and for a number of reasons, okay? The deal is that there's a group of people that sit up there in their elite little couches, and Ivanka's part of them. I'm going to throw her right under the bus tonight on this one. That are deciding for us, deciding for you, what your future skills will be. And all of this was wrapped under, very conveniently, the American Workforce Policy Advisory Board, which was supported by Executive Order 13845, issued on 2018 and signed by President Donald J. Trump. And this thing is very, it sounded really good when it came out. Because it all sounded, it talked about, oh, we're gonna teach America new jobs and help the unemployed. The thing is, every one of these people at this point knew what was coming. They all had a very good view. And I've talked about the Fourth Industrial Revolution before, and I've told you this was happening. This is not new. But it's now it should be in everybody's face to see what they're doing. They are social re-engineering the world to fit their new model. Now, this we're going to come back to the Fourth Industrial Revolution in a second, but I just want to give you some of the members that are currently on this board. Walter Bumpfus, nice name, president and CEO of American Association of Community Colleges. Jim Clark, CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of America. That guy just smells like, I don't even want to touch that one. Man, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Tom Donahue, CEO of U.S. Chamber of Commerce. By the way, they're never pro-labor. They're always pro-corporate elite. Marilyn Hewson, Executive Chairman of Lockheed Martin. Eric Holcomb, Governor of Indiana. Barbara Humpton, CEO of Siemens USA. Al Kelly, Chairman and CEO of Visa. Sean McGarvey, President of North America's Building and Trade Unions. Doug McMillan, President and CEO of Walmart. I'm sure that's going to go well for us. And it goes on, including Jeannie Rometty, Executive Chairman of IBM, and a few others. All right. In principle, that's all this sounds very benign. They're here to try to help build new jobs, innovate new experience. But at the core of this is why they were there at that forum, which happens to be the Fourth Industrial Revolution. All right, so I'm going to continue reading a bit about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and we're going to dig into some pieces. Throughout this, fundamental shifts are taking place in how the global production and supply network operates through ongoing automation of traditional manufacturing and industrial practices, using modern smart technology, large-scale machine-to-machine communication, which is referred to as M2M, and the Internet of Things. That is a word and a concept you better really understand. IoT, the Internet of Things. This integration, increasing automation, improving communication, and self-monitoring, and the use of smart machines that can analyze and diagnose issues without the need of human intervention. That's the fundamentals of this Fourth Industrial Revolution. It also represents a social, political, and economic shift from the digital age of the late 1990s and early 2000s to an area, listen to this, of embedded connectivity distinguished by an omni-use and commonness of technological use throughout society. In example, metaverse. That changes the ways, it's in the definition, by the way, I didn't make that up. It's in example, they give metaverse. That changes it, the ways we experience and know the world around us. They have created and are re-entering an augmented social reality compared to just the natural senses and industrial ability of humans alone. All right. Everything you have gone through, everything we have gone through this last 18 months with this COVID has been about the principal issue of social, political, and economic shifts to force the world into the fourth industrial revolution. And I'm going to go back to some critical technologies. It's the blurring between physical, digital, and biological worlds. These administrations, from Bush to Obama to Trump, are all doing the same thing. They may not be on the same side, but they're all pushing everybody towards the fourth industrial revolution. And the medical sciences of developing new injections, what they are calling a vaccine with mRNA, is central to this theme. Because mRNA uses CRISPR technology, which goes back to what? Gene editing, which is part of the critical technologies of the fourth industrial revolution. Artificial intelligence, gene editing, and advanced robotics. Now, here's the kind of the phases of the industrial revolutions we've been to. The first industrial revolution was marked by a transition from hand production methods to machines through to use of steam power and water power. The implementation of new technologies took a long time, so the period which this refers to was between 1760 and 1820, maybe as late as 1840, in Europe and the United States. In effect, its effects had consequences on textile manufacturing, which was the first to adopt such changes, as well as the iron industry, agriculture, and mining. Although it had societal effects, they were even stronger in the middle class. It also had an effect on the British industry at the time. That whole period was pretty brutal, by the way, in England. It's also known as the Land Closures Act. But if you study the Land Closures Act, it's like, boy, that sure looks a whole lot like Agenda 2030. And it is. They forced farmers off the land. They bought the big companies and government entities bought the land and forced the small farmer off, forced them into the cities. Agenda 2030. Only it wasn't Agenda 2030. It was called industrialization. Oliver Twist, by the way, if you've seen that play or film, that takes place during that period when they were forcing everybody into these hovels and these slums in the city. Second Industrial Revolution. The Second Industrial Revolution, also known as the Technological Revolution, is the period between 1871 and 1914 that resulted from installations of extensive railroad and telegraph networks, which we could also say resulted in the absolute slaughter of the buffaloes and the American Indians, but we don't want to put that there. I added that for your edifice. Which allowed for faster transfer of people and ideas, as well as electricity. Increasing electrification allowed for factories to develop the modern production line. It was the period of great economic growth with an increase in productivity, which also caused a surge in unemployment since many factory workers were replaced by machines. Huh, isn't that surprising? This was the period in which Teddy Roosevelt came to power, in which he was trying to preserve some of the land here for future generations. That's the president who established the national parks. That's why we have Yosemite, for one. And he was also the first president to take on the deep state, the version of that, which they called the robber barons then. And then later realized that the two-party system, after he was president, was so corrupt that he couldn't function with it, so he started the Bull Moose Party, and of course he lost, but not before they tried to kill him, which they did. They didn't kill him, but they tried to kill him. One of his great moments, they shot him in the heart, but he happened to have his flask. He liked to drink whiskey. He had his flask right there, and the round hit the flask, and as he's wearing a white shirt, and as he's talking, the blood started to drip down from his shirt. And he says to the crowd, it's a true statement, true. He said, it's going to take more than that to take me down. And the crowd cheered. They loved him. It's pretty good. Okay, so the third industrial revolution, also known as the digital revolution, occurred in the late 20th century after the end of the two world wars, resulting from a slowdown of industrialization and technological advancement compared to previous periods. The production of the Z1 computer, which used binary floating point numbers and the Boolean logic a decade later, was the beginning of a more advanced digital development. The next significant development in communication technologies was the supercomputer, with extensive use of computer and communication technologies in the production process. Machinery began to abrogate the need for human power. That sounds interesting. So the whole model here, if you're watching what's happening, and this, by the way, I've told you this before, and I'm very serious. Some point, if you are really wanting to dig in, go read Marx, Das Kapital, Volume 1. The dude mapped out all of this stuff up to the point of the Third Industrial Revolution. And he did that in the late 1800s because he saw what was going to happen. He saw how they were making money. He saw how labor was exploited. And one of the greatest little inversions, look, Marx, they call the founder of communism. Marx was an outsider. And he definitely wrote the Communist Manifesto, and he did it for pay, and he was told what he was supposed to write, believe it or not. That was Engels that fed him that little contract because he was desperate for money. But Das Kapital was devastating because it showed how the real mechanics of profit worked, which had nothing to do with the Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, which was trying to make this kind of like magic money come out of nowhere. Marx got into the raw of it, which is you're exploiting labor, and this is how they're exploiting labor. And he detailed how their profits were. I've always said the great industrialists read Marx and told everybody else it was bad because the great industrialists understood that Marx understood their system better than they did. And that's how they actually used Marx's work to get better and be more exploitive. So the Fourth Industrial Revolution is marked by several key aspects, key themes, okay? One is called interconnection. And that's the ability of machines, devices, sensors, and people to connect and communicate with each other via the Internet of Things or the Internet of People, and most recently, the Internet of Brains or Body, depending on how you translate the IOB. Now, essentially, what in layman's terms, I'm going to give you a simple definition for each one of these. They call that interconnection. I call that the Borg Collective. So the whole concept here is to create interconnection. Okay. Point number two, or key theme number two, is information transparency. Information transparency is afforded by Industry 4.0. Remember, Industry 4.0 is what? It is the Industrial Revolution, where technology provides operators, I love that very generic term, with comprehensive information to make decisions. I don't know who those operators are. They're obviously not elected officials. Interconnectivity allows operators to collect immense amounts of data and information from all points in the manufacturing process and human process. They're not adding that, but that's the truth. Identify key areas that can benefit from improvements to increase functionality. Everything is to turn everybody, everything into a higher productivity for the benefit of the elite. So the information transparency has at its core two critical aspects: complete and total loss of privacy and the complete destruction and death of the First Amendment. If you are wondering why they have been working overtime to kill the First Amendment, oh, that's key point number two. Key point number three is technical assistance. The technological facility of systems to assist humans in decision-making, because we're all too dumb to do it ourselves, and problem-solving, because we can no longer think since they dumbed us down through Common Core and CRT, and the ability to help humans with difficult or unsafe tasks because we don't want to take any more risk. So what they've created in layman's terms is a culture of, it has a created dependency on machines and the state and the loss of individuality. And here's the big profit one. This is a great one. Stuck right in the middle of that one. because you are in technical assistance on everything, and this is going to apply to the next one as well, what I'm about to say here. All intellectual property, that means all of your ideas, cease to be able to be owned by you. They can only be owned by those that own the machines. It's that simple. You can no longer copyright anything. Check out the copyright laws that were passed and the international copyright laws that were passed under Obama. And they're in place. Check out the patent laws, the international patent laws. All of these were gearing up to so people would no longer have any ability or right to own any of the ideas that they create. Look, when Klaus Schwab says you will rent everything, you will own nothing, and you will be happy, he's not kidding. But this is everything. You can't come up with an idea anymore in this future society, this fourth generation or this fourth industrial revolution. If you do and you say, this is mine, you're going to be low. Remember what Obama said. You didn't make this. All he was doing was conditioning people to be prepared for what's coming. Okay. The fourth primary theme here is decentralized decisions. I love this one. These words sound so nice. Oh, okay, we're going to do interconnection, information transparency, technical assistance, and now decentralized decisions. The ability of cyber-physical systems to make decisions on their own. Oh, check that out. And to perform their tasks as autonomously as possible. Huh. In other words, you just became outdated. Only in the case of exceptions, interference, and or conflicting goals. See, this is when the computers don't agree anymore. Only then are tasks delegated to a higher level, which is what? Another higher level of AI. So essentially what they've done in this nice little sleight of hand in decentralized decisions, which of course, if you listen to this garbage, you're going to hear it come right out of the mouths of the left because they're like, oh, I'm looking forward to a world where we can collectively work together in decentralized decision making. We can rely on machines to help give us the technical assistance to go beyond what we currently are able to as human beings. We can use information transparency so we can see truly what's going on and understand the truth because we know that we can trust the institution to guide us that way. And this interconnection that we have, we're able to feel and experience one another in a whole new level. Bottom line, AI authority over all humanity, humans are reduced to slaves and worse, cattle. The first step in all of this was COVID. Conditioned people for being dependent upon the state. Allow them to live in the state of fear, and once they accepted the injection in their body, which was it's a huge step. Once you accept the injection that was under an experimental injection, without thinking through what you were doing, you are now under their control, total, absolute. And it doesn't even need the consequences of the injection. It's the principle of the action. They have social engineered humanity to be obedient, and the ultimate obedience is for you willingly to have something stuck in you, and you don't question what's in it. That's masterful, masterful social engineering. So one of the ways that they're forcing this upon the society is that as people get hooked into this, they get hooked into the technologies. And the technologies are working at a pace that people can't keep up with. We're already seeing that, but they're accelerating it even more. This is Meta. This is other areas. And this whole quantum thing they're rolling out is part of this. Velocity, which is exceptional speed at which the incumbent industries are affected and displaced. So you come up with an idea and somebody re-innovates an idea faster because someone else is having a faster machine. This principle is being demonstrated in Wall Street right now. And I don't know if you understand how trade works in Wall Street, but most of the big trading houses are not on Wall Street. They're sitting in New Jersey where they have a better tax base. But what the fight is, and we're talking like milliseconds, companies are paying millions of dollars to gain a millisecond or a fraction of a millisecond over somebody else with a better data line. I'm not exaggerating. And these are where they start to get into fractional trading. And the speed at which they can move at trading, they're competing against one another. It is so fast that humans officially can't interact. It's all being run by AIs. So they're already prototyping what's going to be rolling out. And the world will be moving so fast that people will become separated continually from technology. It'll take armies of people to maintain it. And increasingly, technology creates its own autonomous entity that humanity is completely dependent upon. And even better for the elites is all these great cells of great ideas. Look how we can interface with technology. People are going to start putting these implants in them. But just in case you were worried that you'd get left out, don't worry. Because if you've taken the shot, you already have the base technology in your body. All you have to do is just get the right hookup, and that graphene will kick right in, start growing a little more rapidly in your body. That hydrogel's already moving through your neurosystem, and that nanotech's in place then, so it just takes a little 5G wave, activates it, and bing, you're live on the system. Self-driving cars. It's very important, and taking yet another ability away from you. Think about this. How many people know how to drive a stick shift? I love my Jeep. It's a stick shift. I will not have an automatic. But you know as well as I do that a lot of people have never learned how to drive a stick. That was a look at the patterns of what they do. Everything they do, they always try to make it easier for you. So you have to worry about less. And step by step, they move people away from the fundamentals of knowledge. I grew up understanding how to physically change the clutch, the master cylinder, the slave cylinder, all of that is part of my growing up. Today, you tell that to most kids, they're going to be like, huh? I didn't know the car had a slave. There's a slave running my engine? That's I'm offended. That's virtual signaling. It'll be something like that, you know? Is it black or a white slave? That's what I want to know. It's like, oh yeah, there we go. That's CRT for you right there. So this whole thing that we're doing right now is witnessing, again, this self-driving cars. It's brainless. And the way it's sold is you can use your time more effectively. Well, I don't want to use my time more effectively. I like driving. No, I'm sorry. We're going to take that responsibility away from you. So part of this is velocity. Like I said, the velocity in which things change. The next is scope of systems and impact. They're trying to integrate this on large sectors so that it overwhelms people and you have to suddenly accept it because it's everywhere. I mean, look at the 5G nonsense. Is there any say that we have in 5G? Nope. Who decided we needed 5G? This is what they'll tell you. The demand, it is demand driven. It is not demand driven. If you understand how advertisers work, they create demand out of nothing. A good advertiser, and I mean sincerely what I'm going to say, a good advertiser, if they know how to do their job, would be able to sell anybody that's interested in buying something a gold-plated turd. And I mean that. And the way they're going to do it, and by the way, I used to teach this too. So the way they would do it is they'll go after the children. All they need to do is find a couple kids that have influence in the community. And they can make them up too, by the way. They'll pay them. They'll pay these kids like, I just need you to use this. We'll give you a fee if you'll go out and show it off. And once they do, then the other kids will be like, I wish I had one of those. What is it? It's called a GT. A GT? Really? What's it stand for? That's secret. But I'll let you in on it. It's called a gold-plated turd. It's a GT. Wow, I want one. And so the next thing you know, they've got a whole thing going and they're talking to their parents going, I need a GT, Dad, for Christmas. And what do you know? Lo and behold, parents are buying gold-plated turds and the way it goes. That's creating demand. And that's what they're doing right now. And how they're doing this whole bit with technology and with IoT. Now, IoT is a big one. So here's some of the devices. The last thing is paradigm. They're trying to sell this paradigm shift. And the paradigm shift is like Meta, trying to tell you that, oh, it's going to be wonderful. You can live inside of a matrix world. Everything you do, you can virtually experience. You can go places instantly. You can live in another world. Just put on these goggles. I promise nothing will go wrong. We'll just snatch your soul, but that's okay. Don't worry about that. What did Zuckerberg say the other day? It was stunning. If you die in the metaverse, you die for real. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not just a video game. I don't know if you saw that video that was floating around on Telegram and other places. It was epic. So this young lady having a, well, I think it is. I can't tell anymore. Half these kids look like the other genders. I don't know what it is. I'm going to say it's a young lady. Next thing I know, somebody will be like, no, it wasn't. It was a transgender. Okay, whatever. You're a freak either way. So this young lady is wearing a set of Oculus goggles, which is a VR set created by Facebook from a technology that was crowdsource funded for about $2 million. The guys raised the company up to $10 million. The people that crowdsourced it got a little Oculus helmet for him, and the guys that built up the company sold it to Facebook for over $1 billion and then basically gave the middle finger to everybody that supported them. Nice. There you go. That's the world we live in. But anyway, Oculus glasses. So the Oculus, this was wearing the Oculus glasses, and it was punching this invisible beasts. They're in some sort of a virtual game. And something happens in the Oculus headset, something off to the right side. And you can see it because they snap their head to the right and they let out this horrific scream. And just as they let out the horrific scream, they go flying. They launch themselves across the room and smack their face right into the door and knock themselves out. It was epic. That's VR for you. Virtual reality. So real, you can kill yourself. Remember what Zuckerberg said. You die in VR, you die for real. Okay, so the components of this, and here's kind of the laydown of it. Mobile devices, Internet of Things, location detection technologies, advanced human-machine interfaces. Okay, let's take those first four. Important. Mobile devices, everybody's become dependent on. That's there. Internet of Things is when everything starts to talk to you. They're already rolling that out. Like, I have a smart refrigerator that'll tell me what I don't. But I'm saying a person would say, I don't want a smart refrigerator. Be clear. But to have a smart refrigerator that'll actually tell you what you're missing. You need milk. I'm like, I don't need to report that I have milk. You need milk. All these things are being lined up to control every aspect of your life. Alexa, Apple's version of that. All these stupid devices that are in the house listening to you all the time. You have Alexa on your TV, it's listening. Shut it off, it's listening. It's detecting you. Internet of Things. That's part of Internet of Things. Now, Internet of Bodies, IOB or IOP, Internet of People, is where we currently are. And that's part of what this injection is. Part of this injection right now is this bioweapon is to cull out the elite. I mean, so the elderly, our wisdom class. You kill off the elderly and you modify or kill off the youth. The idea is to sterilize the youth in a large swash. They're trying to basically eradicate Western culture because the new subservient culture, and if you're overseas listening to this in one of these countries that's not America and you're not in Europe, you're one of these. You are the new future slave class because too many of you are too greedy and eager to have, quote, things in your life, and they know it, and they're going to manipulate you and turn you into the new slave class. So the new slave class is coming out of Africa, South America, India, and China, since they're basically eradicating China. And while most of the Chinese walk around with their head up their backside, and they're eradicating the true thinkers of China, which are the Christians and the Uyghurs and Falun Gong, they're all in prison camps. And then anybody else that speaks up in China ends up in prison camps. Oh, I just have to add this little thing. By the way, if you're getting an organ transplant or knowing somebody that's getting an organ transplant, there's a high probability that organ's coming from somebody that had it forcefully extracted out of them from China without any anesthesia. Just thought I'd tell you that. So hope that makes you feel good if you got one of those in you, because that's what's going on. So the whole thing here is, in the end of the day, is to make society completely dependent on augmented and wearable technologies that are literally changing the reality in which you are in. That's the augmented reality dimension of this. And all of this is to create a permanent imprisonment. You will never escape it once you get into it. It is as bad as the cocoon in the Matrix. And they are moving this at high speed right now. So when you start hearing people talk about new jobs in this fourth industrial revolution, they're talking about all sorts of quote-unquote skill sets that literally, it's not about trades. They're talking about dumbing down all these technologies so that they don't compete with the technology that's trying to replace you. Basically, they're going from being like the creator to being the maintenance guy that's shoveling the poop behind the machine. And that's literally what's happening. So all of this master planning globally, and this is the part that I will tell you that infuriates me, because This was known, and I'm putting it on the table. And if this ruffles your feathers, I'm sorry, but here's where I get completely fed up. We're in an age of awakening to truth. Under Obama, I can accept lies. He was a deceitful POS, and he's a Kenyan, not even an American. And besides that, I'm not even sure if he definitely was a Manchurian candidate programmed by the CIA and probably originally by MI6 out of Kenya. Okay? So he was an agent in to help this overthrow of our government. Now, I've said many times, I'm clear, I respect what President Trump did for his first 4 years, but this part of this pisses me off because Ivanka was deep into this under his authority with his people, and they all know what's coming. And never has it been revealed or discussed openly about the Fourth Industrial Revolution because they're afraid to sell it to you. They're afraid to tell you that you're going to become irrelevant. They are afraid to tell you that you're going to have to be retrained in your job because a machine is going to take it. All right, so these are things you have to start looking at. When I say I'm making the framework, you have to look at every single person in corporate and political leadership and ask yourself, have they been truthful with me? I don't care what toes that steps on. The fact of the matter is, this Fourth Industrial Revolution is integral to the new technologies and production systems that they created under COVID, which was authorized in a executive order signed by Trump in September, get the date, September of 2019, before COVID ever was known. This whole thing is crazy, and we're looking at a complete elite class that has decided that all of humanity, and by the way, we've got the numbers, they're keeping everybody moving from election fraud to garbage about January 6th to the slaughter that they're doing with this injection, with all this other disinformation coming out. It's trying to tell you that, well, it's really not this, but it's this. It's happening on every front because the elites are all fighting for the same prize. The elites are fighting for the control over you and I. And that's the truth. They don't care about us. They're going to tell you they do. They're going to tell you, oh, I love this, but we're going to do this. I don't want them telling me what I'm going to do. If a person wants to never touch a computer, God bless them. But it is not a time that we can sit here and mill around anymore and start giving the worship to people. We have to get down to the facts. So the facts are that the Fourth Industrial Revolution has been so designed and architected to enslave humanity. And at the bottom end of that, the core part of that is to transition humanity from what is known as human to transhuman. And when you start to put devices inside of you, IoT, IOP, IOB, and you start to use the integration of that into their master systems, you are now transhuman. The first step to that, which the more that I study this, the more that I believe that what these shots are actually doing is they're laying the foundation for the future technologies that are going to be coming out. So those that can't handle it, and they know pretty well that most elderly, most high-performance athletes, many youth are not going to handle it, and they're just going to die off. And they're okay with that, because they're culling out a segment of humanity that they don't need. They hate those that don't take it because they can't get us forced into their control network. But once they get enough people injected, they now have the foundation of tying everybody into the master system, which is probably going to be part of what Starlink's garbage is. I mean, I haven't asked for 5G in my life. I don't have it. I don't want it. But I happen to know it's alive and well in my area, and I didn't ask for it. And a lot of people don't ask for it. But this is how they're doing this. So now I want to go back to what I mentioned to you at the very beginning. Remember our little marching soldiers there in D.C.? All with blue shirts and tan pants, all with nicely painted shields. Some have a Captain America round shield. All wearing white face masks. All of them in lockstep. None of them questioning, with nice little hairdos. Wow, that's sure funny. Where'd they all get that done? Almost like it's a prototype to demonstrate the new obedient culture, the new transhuman, the new human 2.0 in the matrix of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Let that settle in. This is the world we live in. And this is the fight we fight. And more than ever now is a time to step away from this garbage, to deny them the opportunity, and to stand strong. Not only stand strong against them, but to stand strong in our faith. We cannot get along with these people. I'm sorry. I'm done. I am absolutely done trying to talk about bridging and making peace. This movement of Fourth Industrial Revolution and transhumanism is a different track of life. It is a bifurcation. It is a world they can have on their own, because I'm not going into their slave camps or slave cities or whatever else. IoT, IOP, IOB, Internet of Things, Internet of People, Internet of Bodies, all leads to perpetual total enslavement. And at the center of that is virtual reality and the metaverse. I'm not playing. And we can't play if we want to win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And we thank you for the opening our eyes once again to the depth of this deceit of our leadership, the depth of the deceit of so many that just won't speak the truth of what we're looking at. We pray for the many to open their eyes, to start asking the hard questions, to stand up boldly and not take things for granted. Not to just accept that what's put before us is trustworthy or okay, but to question everything. To rely on you, Father, to rely on you for discernment, to rely on you for faith, to put everything into you, Father, and to leave this world of men behind. Give us the strength. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, Patriots, this show today kind of sets the framework of what we're really fighting for. And the next 4 days now, we're going to talk about the local fight and how it's being won. Those are the critical things, and we pull them all together. So have a blessed evening. I will see you back in a little bit for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
An old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.